So, you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. I'll not give you nothing that you don't already know this morning, nothing that you haven't ever heard. But like I said, I believe that to a child of God, the message of the resurrection should always be fresh. It always ought to mean something to you and I. And I like the way that, and I'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute, but I like the way that the Gospels tells of the resurrection of Jesus, what took place, and the different aspects of it that each evangelist gives us as God's people that we can look at. And there's a lot of times I believe God give us the Word of God where we will study the Word of God and know as best we can the details of what took place on that first resurrection morning. And so the Bible says in Matthew, in his account, chapter 28, verse 1, said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house on this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us just gather our minds in from the things outside the walls of this building, Lord, and that we get it fixed centered upon you this morning. Lord, I pray that your will be carried out here today. Lord, I pray, God, that you be with those that's watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you'd give us all ears to hear. Lord, to help us, Lord, to realize this great day that's been set aside to remember your resurrection. This great happening that took place some 2,000 years ago. This morning, Lord, and that we as believers are saved because you live this morning. We can live because you live today, Father. Lord, I just pray now that you'd help us for just a little bit, Lord. If there's one under the sound of our voice that's lost that don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray this might be the day. Lord, that one it may be watching on the webcast, Lord, that don't know you. God, I pray that you deal with hearts today, Lord. Help us all to be encouraged. And when we leave, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Have your way, and we'll give you the glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. I want to look at this passage of Scripture this morning and give you a few things here on a thought beyond the tomb. Beyond the tomb. And I'm glad that we're able to come this morning and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Every day should be a day of remembrance to know that we serve a risen Savior. Hey, we that are Bible believers should know that we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. It's a new day for those that are saved, that have been washed in His blood. Matthew says here in verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath. Mark says, when the Sabbath was passed. Luke says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, and John says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. With all that's been said by the evangelist, we can get something from the description that they give. Hey, the Sabbath is past and there's a new day that has dawned. Hallelujah, this morning we have a new day and a new way, and no more waiting, no more worry. Jesus has come, He's died and is risen again, and He lives forevermore. Glory to God, we serve a risen Savior this morning, and I want to preach for just a little while this morning on the thought of beyond the tomb. And I'm glad that we are beyond the tomb this morning. And I'm glad, hey, that we that have been saved by the grace of God can come to the house of God this morning, and knowing that we serve a risen Savior that's seated at the right hand of the Father. Hey, one that gave His life for you and I and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. Hey, that we might be able to know that our sins are forgiven, that we're going to heaven, and we can live forever and ever. I'm glad, hey, we don't have to die to get eternal life. If you're born again this morning, if you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, hey, I'm glad that you have present tense eternal life. Hey, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Hey, because Jesus took our place and He's alive this morning and lives forevermore. And I'm going to slow down just a little bit, and I'm going to just give you just a few things. It's just a lot of documented things in the Word of God that we can know that we serve a risen Savior today. Hey, that the resurrection is not just a story that was hatched up from a book that was given under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but it's real. Hey, this book is alive, and it contains the very history and the evidence that Jesus did rise again the third day. And so the first thing we'll look at is the activity beyond the tomb there in verses 1 through 15 in which we read. And we see, first of all, the coming to the tomb there in verse 1. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And I read you those parts and those pieces from the other Gospels this morning. Mark says that when the Sabbath was passed, I'm glad today that the Sabbath is passed. Hey, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. Hey, and we worship today because Jesus arose on the first day of the week. And I'm glad that we don't have to go to church on Saturday and be bound down by the laws of the Old Testament and the old way that they had. Hey, but when Jesus died, He fulfilled the commandments of the law. Hey, He fulfilled every jot and a tittle. And this morning we're here and we're worshiping upon the first day of the week as believers that's been saved by the grace of God. So we see the coming to the tomb. A lot of people had sunrise services this morning across the country. They had big gatherings down at Stone Mountain in different places. Hey, we don't have to come on before sunrise. I've seen a lot of sunrise, and it ought to be fresh in our mind every time we see the sun coming up in the east every morning. Hey, that Jesus did arise that glorious resurrection day. Hey, whatever day that it was, I'm glad that we got that in our mind. And every time we see the sun rise in the east, we can think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that rose that third glorious day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So we see the coming to the tomb that morning. And nothing wrong with having sunrise services. I love to get in a good sunrise service. Every one that we had seemed like, since I come down here, the ones that we did have, it was always cold outside, and most people were shivering, and it's hard to get your mind on and focus on the resurrection when you're cold. But hey, I'm glad this morning that we got a good warm place that we can come into this morning, and we can preach about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead this morning, and we can celebrate that day today. So we see the coming to the tomb. We see the commotion at the tomb there in verse 2. The Bible says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. We see the earthquake that took place there on that morning. Now, let me say that the angel didn't come down to roll the door back that Jesus could get out. He rolled the door back so that the disciples and the people could get in, that they could see, hey, that Jesus was not there, that He had arose from that grave there that morning. And He didn't have no outside help. The Bible said He raised Himself from the dead. Hey, if I'm glad that we serve one, hey, that was very well capable of coming through that stone that morning. He come out of those clothes. And I can just imagine, and as John, he recorded the resurrection of Jesus, and how clothes were in one place, the napkin that was about His head was folded and laid down on the other side there away from those clothes, and the symbolic relation of that napkin that was laid down, in essence, is what it was saying. Hey, I'm done here. I'm going away. Hey, but I'm coming back again. They said to those Jewish feasts, when those people, if they got up to leave the table, if they were coming back, that they would fold their napkin up and lay it down. If they were finished, hey, they would just wad that napkin up and lay it down there. And that was to let everybody know that they were gone and they wasn't coming back. But let me say, hey, Jesus folded that napkin. He laid it there. It was symbolic that He is coming again. And I'm glad it could be today. Hey, I'm looking. We're living in exciting times. We've talked about that a lot here lately. We're seeing all the activity over in the Middle East, there in Russia, Ukraine, and the things that's going on in Israel, and we can see the sign, the shaping up of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not looking for signs, but we can see signs of His soon appearing. And can I say, hey, He could come before we got out of here today. And it'd be perfectly fine with me if He split the skies this morning and come, and we could all leave up from here and meet in the air and see our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. So we see the commotion at the tomb, the earthquake. The fear of the keepers there in verse 4 said, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Hey, that shake you up pretty good, I guess, if you're sitting there at that tomb watching that stone there, making sure nobody didn't come and steal Jesus, and all of a sudden you felt an earthquake and that stone rolled away there, and keepers there of the tomb, hey, they didn't know the Lord Jesus is their Savior, no doubt. And it frightened them when they seen that commotion that took place. We see the communion at the tomb. In verse 5, the Bible tells them, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. So we see the communion at the tomb with the angel. He said, he said, I know why you're here. Hey, but he's not here. He's gone. He's already took off. And we see not only the communion at the tomb with the angel, but we see the invitation to come in. They didn't just take his word for it, but he invited them in. He didn't expect them just to take his word that Jesus wasn't there. He said, come on in. Verse 6, he said, he's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Hey, I'm glad that we can, by faith this morning, that we can see the resurrection. We can know what took place according to what the Word of God said. We see by faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ rose just as He said He would. And these ladies that come here that morning, the angel told them, said, come on in and see. Hey, they knew that they were going to have to see with their eyes. But I'm glad this morning, hey, that you and I, we can look down through the times and through the years, and we can see the recording in the Word of God of what took place that morning. And we know that there's an empty tomb somewhere over there in Israel around that place where they buried Him there. And we know that that tomb's empty this morning. You can go to the tomb of a lot of religious leaders today, and that body's still there. But I'm glad to say this morning, hey, you could go to the tomb of Jesus, and there's an empty tomb there. Hey, He's not there. He's gone, and He's back in heaven, and He's coming again soon. The communion at the tomb. We see the reminder. Even over in Luke chapter 24, verse 6, we see Luke's reminder. He said, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So we see the reminder here that he wasn't there. We see the reminder that Luke gives, hey, that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified, that he would lie there in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, and he would get up and come forth. Then we see the commission at the tomb in verse 7. It said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." So we see the commission to go tell the disciples. I was thinking about that. You know, we still have that great commission this morning. There's a lot of lost people. Most people on planet Earth that's ever been. 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. Hey, there's a lot of men, women, boys, and girls that's never heard the story of a risen Savior. And I'm glad this morning to tell you, hey, we still got that responsibility to go and tell those that don't know Jesus as their Savior. He told them, said, "Go tell my disciples here, hey, that I'm not here, that I'm risen." But I'm glad this morning we still got the commission of ourselves to go and tell men, women, boys, and girls, hey, that there is a living Savior this morning. Hey, that He died and He shed His blood. He was buried and resurrected again the third day, and is in heaven this evening, making intercessions for men, women, boys, and girl, and that they can be saved if they'll come to Him, because He lives, that they can live. The commission at the tomb. The carrying of the message that they were to give. Verse 8 said, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear." Hey, they were fearful, but there was great joy in their hearts. Hey, they knew that what Jesus had told them had come true. Hey, they were sad, no doubt, those days that they were waiting here after the death of Jesus and the burial that took place. Hey, they had been waiting, and they were sad, no doubt, in their hearts, because Jesus had died. He was the they thought He was the promised Messiah, and when He died, it just drained all of that out of most of them. You can tell they come to see. I mean, they come to put spices on the body of Jesus there. They thought He was gone forever. But when they got there, hey, they got the good news that He was alive. And they see the carrying of the message that they took off. They were fearful because of what had happened, what they had seen. And, hey, we don't need to get too spiritual. If we'd went there and we'd seen and felt what they had felt there, the earthquake and all the things that had taken place, hey, we'd have been fearful too, no doubt. Same thing. We would have probably been filled with unbelief also. But these, we see the carrying of the message. They left with fear, but they left with joy. We see the meeting of Mary beyond the tomb there in verse 9. And we know that had already, Mary Magdalene, no doubt, was the first to see the Lord Jesus according to John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. And then here in verse 9, they held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Over in John chapter 20, verses 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, Sir, if thou have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my God, Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. As I've already said, hey, the writers give us different aspects of what they saw, what they remembered, what they wrote down. But evidently, Mary had went, and she to the tomb first. She had seen Jesus, and then when looking into the sepulcher there, and then Jesus spoke to her, immediately Mary knew who that was. When he said, Mary, hey, I'm glad he knows my name this morning, aren't you? Hey, he knows your name this morning if you're saved. And when he calls, we should be able to answer as Mary did, Rabboni, Master. And we see that Mary evidently seen Jesus first, because at this time, Jesus told her, he said, go tell my disciples. And she goes back and tells them about what she's seen and what she's experienced. He said, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. So evidently, according to the Scriptures, Jesus said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Evidently, at that point, He had just risen. He had just come forth out of that tomb, and He hadn't ascended back to put the blood on the mercy seat. Hey, but I believe that at that point in time, somewhere between then and verse 9 here in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus went back to heaven, put the blood and applied it to the mercy seat, and came back here, because the Bible tells us that they fell down and worshipped Him and held His feet. There's no problems with our Bible. There's no discrepancies in our Bible. It's all, if we stop and think and we study, hey, we can find an answer to everything. Hey, this Bible is true from cover to cover. I'm glad I got a King James Bible this morning, hey, that I can preach to, and there's nothing wrong. There's no problems in it. It's perfect. It's preserved for the English-speaking people today. So we see there's an explanation for everything. So then we see not only the meeting of Jesus beyond the tomb, but we see the conspiracy beyond the tomb. Hey, there's always been that crowd that's tried to discredit Jesus. They tried to discredit the resurrection. There in verses 11 to 15, we'll not read them again. We've already read them, but you find out what happened. And everything's always been a money thing. You know, you can get people to do just about anything for money. Hey, it wasn't no different in the days of Jesus. They were all looking for money. I'm glad we got the historical fact of the Word of God that tells us what took place on that first resurrection morning when Jesus rose from the grave, that first Easter morning when those disciples went to the tomb. I'm glad we got the recording in the Word of God, hey, that we can know for definite that Jesus rose again. Now, that's for believers. That's for believers. And then we've got the historical facts through secular history, that we can know that Jesus was real, that Jesus walked here. We can find out through the historian, Jewish historian Josephus, Flavius. We can find out the history that he recorded during his time here on earth. Here's just a little excerpt. Said, now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold. These and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him and the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day. So we have the Jewish historian Josephus that vouched for the man Christ Jesus and the things that took place. Hey, that's for those secular history buffs that wants to know from the secular side of it, hey, that can be proven that Jesus was real. Hey, Jesus really died. He was crucified on a cross, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Now, if we believe our Bible, we just automatically believe that story. I mean, we've been taught that all of our lives. I believe that in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Hey, I don't have to follow the history of these people that try to discredit the creation of the earth, the creation of man, the creation of the animals. I don't have to agree with what they say about the ice age and the dinosaurs and all those things. I don't have to believe that this world is billions and billions of years old. I don't have to. If I'm a Bible believer, hey, I can believe that that God in His sovereign and in His ability, when He spoke this world into existence, He could create a earth that was full grown. He could create a full grown man. I don't think He created a little baby. I think He created Adam, a full grown human being. I think He took the rib out of Adam and made Eve. I believe in the beginning that when God created, He gave us all the information that we know. Now, He's always been. Somebody said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Hey, He's just always been. He was even in the beginning. He was even before in the beginning. I mean, God is everlasting. And if it wasn't nothing but the gospel that tells of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, by faith I can believe it. I believe that by faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. We don't have to have history a lot of times. Thank God for history. I love history. I love to see and read about history. But Josephus, the Jewish historian, he vouched and verified, hey, that Jesus was alive during those days in which He lived before that time. He comes along just a little while shortly after. He's got a lot of the information that he needed. So, we see the conspiracy beyond the tomb there, verses 11 and 15. They tried to discredit because of money. Even this goes, this saying is today that the disciples come and took Jesus away. And there was an empty tomb when they got there. Well, let me say this morning, the disciples didn't take Him away. Jesus rose from the grave. I believe He walked right through that stone on the third glorious day. I believe Jesus was crucified on Wednesday evening. You believe what you want to. I don't believe you can get 3 days and three nights from Friday evening when they put Him in the tomb there till Sunday morning. The Bible says that Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So somewhere between Wednesday evening before 6 o'clock, they put Jesus in the tomb. My thinking, my belief, Thursday was a high Sabbath. And then on Saturday, again, was the Sabbath again. So as the disciples were probably dealing with all these things that was going on, probably, I don't understand a lot about Jewish history and all, but they probably waited until the Sabbath was passed, and then early Sunday morning, probably before it got daylight, they probably was coming to that tomb, and they found out that Jesus had rose from the grave. 3 days and three nights, that's, you can't get that from Friday till Sunday. You got 3 days there, but you don't have 3 days and three nights. They put Him in the grave on 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. That was to Thursday evening. That was one day. Thursday till Friday, 6 o'clock the next day. And then Friday till Saturday, 6 o'clock. And somewhere before sunrise, Jesus come out of the grave. Now that's my simple reasoning. You can believe what you want to believe. So we see, not only here we understand the activity beyond the tomb, but then we see the appearances beyond the tomb. And I'll not labor these points this morning. I'm just going to give them to him. If you're taking notes, you can write these things down and go look. The appearance beyond the tomb, we done discussed that to Mary Magdalene. John 20, verses 14 to 18. Now, Mary loved Jesus. He had forgiven her much, and she loved much. And then to the women returning from the tomb in Matthew 28 there. And then to Peter, probably, they say in the afternoon in Luke chapter 24, verses 34, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, we have the record there that He appeared unto Cephas. So we know He appeared to Peter, He appeared to Mary, He appeared to the women at the tomb, and then to the Emmaus disciples. That was toward evening in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 31. You can read about that Emmaus disciples. Cleopas and the other disciple was walking back home, and Jesus comes along. He communicates with them. And the Bible says their eyes was holding. Meant they couldn't see and they didn't understand who He was at that time. But then God removed the scales and they seen. They talked about how their heart burned when they were talking about Jesus and the miracles and things that He done. And Jesus was questioning about what the events that had just took place. So He appeared to the Emmaus disciples. Then He appeared to the apostles except Thomas. You remember that first meeting with the disciples there that in Luke chapter 24, I believe verses 36 to 43, and then John 20, chapter 19 through 24, here 8 days later. But the Bible tells that Thomas wasn't there. And we see when they told Thomas, Thomas said he wasn't going to believe unless he seen, and he put his hands in the nail prints in his hand and thrust his hand into his side. We know the story, how it goes on, and how Jesus appeared to the disciples again. And Thomas was there with them. Thomas missed that first meeting. You know, when you're not at church, you miss something. Hey, Jesus may just show up the day that you're not there. Hey, He just may reveal His presence and His power through the power of the Holy Ghost when you miss that service. That's why I preach so much. Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. Hey, Philip, Thomas here, he would have had a much more blessing if he'd have been there the first time. And Jesus said, blessed are they that believe. He said, you've seen is the only reason you... Hey, but them other, they believe. He said, Thomas, in essence, I believe He said, you should have been there. You should have been waiting. You should have been looking. But Thomas missed out on a great blessing. And then in Galilee He appeared again to the seven by the lake of Tiberias there in John chapter 21 verses 1 through 23. Then He appeared on a mountain to the apostles and 500 brethren, which 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle Paul records what happened there. Actually, let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians, we'll read that passage. Great passage on the resurrection. Great passage on the gospel. Beginning verse 1 said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory and what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I had also received. Can I say this right here? Hey, Paul wasn't preaching to them something that he hadn't received. There's a lot of preachers around this country today. Hey, they're preaching about a man that they've never met. They've never been saved. They've never been born again. They've never come to the realization of their lost condition. It's just a profession that they've taken up. This matter of preaching. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Verse 5 says, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7, after that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And verse 8, Paul said, and last of all, He was seen of me. Also as of one born out of due time. We know the Apostle Paul, he seen the Lord Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus. He had an experience like probably no one's... He got saved the same way we did, but he had an experience that not many people have ever had. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? First thing he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul knew when he met Jesus, who Jesus was. So, He appeared here to the seven by, on the Lake of Tiberias. He appeared to James there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. He appeared to the 11 in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Mark chapter 16, 14 through 20. Luke chapter 24, 33 through 53. And Acts 1, 3 to 12. And then he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. He appeared in the temple again in Acts chapter 22, verses 17 to 21. And then chapter 23 and verse 11. And then he appeared to Stephen outside Jerusalem when they laid their coats down at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. And that great Stephen, the deacon, died there as they stoned him to death. And he said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." Evidently, Stephen meant a lot to Jesus because he stood up when he died. And then to John, on the Isle of Patmos, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 to 19. I wonder this morning, has Jesus appeared to you? Has there ever been a time in your life when you got a glimpse of Jesus in your heart? Have you had an encounter that's changed your life this morning? Then we see not only the appearances beyond the tomb, but then number three and lastly this morning, hey, we see the ascension beyond the tomb. There in Acts chapter 1. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. This will be the last passage we'll read, I think. Acts chapter 1. Great passage about the ascension of Jesus that took place there on Mount Olives. Acts chapter 1. Verses 8 through 11. Let's just back up to verse 3. So to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, talking about to the disciples, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." He said, "I've already told you this. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in the Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wasn't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be standing there the day that Jesus went up into heaven? They were just probably amazed when they seen Jesus just literally take off and a cloud received him up into heaven. Hey, they had waited for this day. They had anticipated this day through those 40 days that Jesus had been with them. Hey, there was one group of that bunch of them over there where he went in. If you read it, hey, he went in, he breathed upon them. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Hey, there were some of them had already received the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost. He breathed on some of them. And then he tells them to wait. Said, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" I like this. This same Jesus that has ascended before your eyes, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then they returned. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And they went in that upper room, 120 of them, and they waited. We see the ascension beyond the tomb. We see the promise from Jesus that He gave them. Hey, the Lord Jesus had been appearing for the past 40 days and had been with His disciples, instructing them. And it's time now for His ascension. And they had the blessing and the opportunity of standing and watching the Savior after His resurrection. Wow. And He gave them a promise. He said, "You shall receive power." I'm glad we've got the power today. I'm glad that He's promised that power to you and I that are saved. I'm glad that when we get saved, we get born again. I'm glad the Holy Ghost comes to live inside of us. I'm glad that the moment of trusting Christ as our Savior, hey, we receive the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life. I'm glad that He empowers every born-again believer on the face of this earth if they'll submit to Him. Paul said, "Be not drunk on wine," where it said, "but be ye filled with the Spirit." I'm glad there's one indwelling, but there's many feelings. A lot of times I believe there's an initial feeling of that Spirit of God, hey, that empowers every one of us to be able to go out and witness in the power of the Holy Ghost, to be sensitive, to be led of the Holy Ghost, to be directed of the Holy Spirit as we walk through this life. He's given us power to resist sin in our lives. Hey, you don't have to sin. Man sins because he wants to sin. He gets brought in. But Paul said, "There's no temptation overtaking you, but it's common unto man. But with every temptation, he'd make a way of escape." A lot of people just don't look for that way of escape. They succumb and they yield to that sin and that temptation that comes in their life. And we've heard prayer requests for prayers for people that have walked away. Hey, they've gotten away from God and they're out in this world today because they didn't look for the escape route. He says, "You shall receive power." He said, "You shall be witnesses." Are you a witness this morning? Are you a good witness or are you a bad witness? There's a lot of people that have trusted Christ. They walked away. Hey, they've turned their back, backslid on God. We preached a little bit about backsliding on Wednesday night. Hey, they've gotten away from God. And they're not very good witnesses. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're left here for a purpose. God didn't just save you to carry you to heaven. He saved you to be a witness for Him. He's empowered you to be able to be and do the things that He's called us to do. He's left not only His disciples, but the words are to you and me, I this morning. Then we see the promise from the two men. We see the promise from Jesus, but we see the promise from the two men. The question, He said, "Why stand you here gazing?" Hey, it's time to quit gazing. It's time to get about really looking for Jesus and expecting Him to come back. We didn't get to see Him ascend, but I believe we're going to see Him descend. I believe we could be the generation that gets raptured out of here, that gets caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be a wonderful day. Are you ready? Are you looking for that day? I've said this a lot of times. I believe if we're really looking for Jesus to come at any moment, we believe in the imminent return. Hey, that He could. There's no scripture that has to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back. Hey, but if we believe in the imminent return, hey, we'll be living like we're looking for Him to come back. We won't be living like the rest of the world. We won't be doing the things that the rest of the world's doing. The question, we see the prophecy. "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." So we know that He's coming back in the air. The first part of the Lord's second coming of Christ is going to be in the air. He's not coming to the earth at that moment. He's coming in the air to catch us up out of here. We're going to be caught up. That's where we get that word rapture, caught up to heaven. To meet the Lord in the air and to so forever to be with Him. Hey, we're not going to leave Him from that point on. There's a lot of things that's going to take place after that. Now, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ at that moment. We're going to be judged. We're not going to be judged for being lost. We're going to be judged for our stewardship, how we've handled ourselves and the things that God has entrusted it to us in this walk of life that we're in. I'm glad that when God forgave you of your sins, He forgave you of all your sins, your past, your present, and your future. I'm glad that we have to keep those sins confessed as we walk in this earth. We're defiled on a daily basis. He said, if you confess your sins, He's faithful, just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm glad we can keep the lines clear. We can keep our relationship where it needs to be with Jesus by confession and forsaking. The promise from these two men, the question, the prophecy, this same Jesus is coming. And then fourthly and lastly, we see the access beyond the tomb. I'm glad we have access this morning, aren't you? I said I wasn't going to read another verse, but I'm going to. Over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I like this. Verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we're declared righteous in the eyes of God. By faith, by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, by accepting Jesus as our Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can have peace this morning is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving that free gift of salvation. By whom also, listen, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but that we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The access beyond the tomb. I'm glad that we have access through the blood. The blood gives us acceptance of God. The blood gives us access that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. I'm glad that you and I, as believers this morning, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. I'm glad, I don't have to get in touch with Mary that gets in touch with Jesus, that gets in touch with God. I'm glad the Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And all I have to do is come through the blood of Jesus this morning, and God will hear and answer our prayers. The access beyond the tomb. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Are you saved this morning? Are you rejoicing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I'm glad, that we're serving a living God this morning. We're not serving some little wimpy Jesus that this world's painted up. But we're serving an all-powerful God. And I'm glad that story can still be fresh this morning, even though it's the old story that's been told for some 2,000 years. It was told all across this country this morning in sunrise service. It's been told this right now. And as the day progresses across this morning, across the United States, there'll be churches that's just now starting. There'll be some that probably just having sunrise somewhere, services. But I'm glad that we're celebrating the same thing, the resurrection of the living Savior this morning. Do you know Him as your Savior?